From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on The Field Trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in arts and entertainment in the San Francisco Bay Area, Marin, and Sonoma counties. I'll chat with artists, singers, actors, writers, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area such a fun and fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest today is actually two guests. I expected one, but we're lucky to have two. First is actor-director Craig Miller. Mr. Miller hails from Peoria, Illinois. He's directed over 80 productions at regional theaters across the United States, most recently having served for the past 7 years as the artistic director for the Texas Repertory Theater Company in Houston, Texas, and he's now taken the reins as artistic director at the 6th Street Playhouse in Santa Rosa. He's also starring as Lady Enid and other roles in the current production at the 6th Street Playhouse, The Mystery of Irma Vep, a two-act, quick-change, cross-dressing gag-fest, no pun intended, in which two actors play all the roles while making more than 30 costume changes. I saw this show at the weekend, and I haven't stopped laughing since. Please welcome to The Field Trip, Mr. Craig Miller.
Thank you.
Craig, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Now, why don't you introduce who you have with you?
Yes, this is a two-man show, and my partner in crime in our production of The Mystery of Irma Vep is Ryan Schaubach, who is proud equity member and hails from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you so much for having us.
Sure. So you're both Midwesterners.
Yes.
Where'd you meet up?
Actually, not in the Midwest.
No, not at all. I think the first time I met Craig, he's best friends with my partner, Kay Allman, who's also an actress. They met in grad school, so I'd heard about Craig, and I ended up meeting him when he came to the Utah Shakespearean Festival in, Craig, I think it was 2005, is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Irma Vep here. Now, for people who haven't seen it, it's, you describe it.
Okay, well, written by Charles Ludlam, it is definitely, first and foremost, a very theatrical evening of theater where we watch two gentlemen, typically it's two men, cross-dress and change as fast as they can from one character to another. And that's really the highlight of the show. On top of that, it's also a spoof on the gothic horror film genre. So you're going to see tributes to Hitchcock's Rebecca, The Mummy's Curse, Nosferatu, the original silent film. You'll see excerpts in there from Lon Chaney Jr.'s The Wolfman.
Yeah, there's a lot towards Wolfman and a lot towards Rebecca also.
Now, you have live sound effects there, rather like a silent film organist.
Oh, that's a really interesting piece. Janice is working with us, and that was something that Craig and the director, Marty Pistone, had thought of early on in the process, to kind of have this, we have this live performer on stage working with us and collaborating on a lot of the same themes that you would hear in the background of Nosferatu or Wolfman. So you hear a lot of the genre spoofs, and she's also there to aid us in some of the lightning cues. It's just great piece of collaboration. The lights are on her, so we know that it's this third person that's working with us. It's extremely clever and beautiful to work with on stage.
It's a very clever show. How was it backstage during the rehearsal period? You know, it must have been hard to rehearse those exits and entrances and quick changes.
Well, the nice thing about the 6th Street Playhouse is that we actually have two performance venues. And while the set for Irma Vep was being loaded into the G.K. Hart Theater, we were actually able to rehearse this show down in our, we have a rehearsal studio, we also have a studio theater in our very next door space. And so we were on in a pretty close approximation to what we were going to be working with on stage. There were a couple of adjustments that we had to get used to, but really, until we actually got our stage crew to join the process, we didn't know how any of these changes were going to work.
Once we got them, though, we went into fast mode for rehearsal. So we had thought about all that while we're rehearsing for 3 weeks. So in those 3 weeks, we have a lot of opportunity to think ahead of time and give us three or four possibilities. So if one exit isn't going to work, we can then, you know, change that into another one.
Did you have a lot of wardrobe malfunctions? I noticed one with the wig on Sunday.
I'll let Craig talk about that.
Yeah, that actually happened in one of the dress rehearsals, too. It's a moment where, as Lady Enid, I come running on from having, you know, Lord Edgar has a pretty bad fit of horrors, and I go running off, and when I do make my re-entrance after that, I run smack into the French doors, thinking that they open one way and they really open another, and the wig did come flying off, and we had a pretty good time with that. Actually, it was
I call it
one of the Jimmy Fallon moments from Saturday Night Live. His whole gig was always that he was the one who cracked up, and that's what the audience was laughing at when he was losing it. They were losing it because he was losing it.
Yeah.
And boy, did I had a bit of a time there recovering because I was laughing so hard myself.
I would keep it in. It's a great bit. I loved it. So you were in Texas. Why move to an awful place like the Bay Area?
Oh, that's a, you know, that's a question I get a lot from people. You know, I tell you what, the climate is definitely beautiful, and the people are just as beautiful here. It has been a decision both personally and professionally that has been one of the best in my career so far.
Well, the Sixth Street Playhouse is a great little theater for people who don't know it. It's really easy to get to,
yeah.
and it's in that old railroad neighborhood where there's a lot of nice restaurants, and it's a great little place to go.
Yeah, it's a perfect place for a theater. It really is.
In this show that you do, there's a moment where you're in ancient Egypt, mm-hmm. and you break into a rap song. Can you guys give us a few bars?
Yeah, sure. You ready?
Yeah, I think so. I gotta think about
it. Well, you kind of have to keep in mind that there would be a beat backing us up here because we do go out full concert style with handheld wireless mics and the whole nine yards.
Yes, you do.
Egypt, 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 Egypt. Egyptian lover, baby.
Egyptian lover.
Egyptian lover, baby.
Egyptian lover.
Give me a kinky, freaky nation with a total female population. I don't mind that situation because I don't care about my reputation.
I'm a smoking archaeologist. Fix your heart like a cardiologist. Bring you back from the dead. I'm going to take you home to my bed.
You
know it.
You
know it.
Egyptian lover, baby. You
know it.
You
know it.
Egyptian lover, baby.
You know it. Well done, you guys. That was great.
Thank you.
That's a really funny moment in the show, I got to say.
Yeah.
Craig, do you remember how that came out? I think it came out, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we heard the word rap in the dialogue
yeah.
and just both started riffing on.
Yeah.
Well, we have to do that.
Yeah, because it's not originally in Charles Ludlam's script, but I think what's amazing about what Ludlam has done with this script is that he sets up a spirit of improvisation
yes.
that you know he would love to see, you know, whoever's working on this play add things like that to it because it just makes it such a more audience participatory experience, and just the spirit of the improv quality to the performances I think is what's delightful about this play. And so it really is open to interpretation to the director and the performers who are going to be acting in it. And this is one of those things, I have to say that one of the, you know, Ryan and I kind of established a rapport when we, you know, as comedians on stage together, especially in improv, when we did the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged about 5 years ago together.
Yeah.
And this show is so similar in style to that, you know, when you just listen to the words in the play, and that's exactly right. Ryan's right. We heard the word. Perhaps if we rapped on the floor, we will know where the opening of the tomb is. And we just riffed on that and went, oh, well, obviously we need to rap. We need to be rap stars right now.
Sure. That's right before you find the sarcophagus, isn't
yeah,
it?
The sarcophagus, yes.
I believe that is the correct pronunciation, actually.
That's hysterical. So, how long did that be? It was a 3-week rehearsal period, you said?
Yes, May 8th until, well, we opened on Friday. We had two preview performances in the middle of last week as well. So, yeah, three weeks plus a weekend of tech, and that's about it.
Yeah, and part of that tech was having the audience there, which is, we learned so much about the show in that there's going to be laughter, and that laughter obviously changes the pacing of mm-hmm. some of the jokes, so you actually need that audience there.
Yeah, it's a show that needs an audience, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. it must be kind of hard to work on without an audience because you just don't know what's going on.
Well, I think that's why I don't know about Ryan, but I appreciate the fact that we did put it together in as fast as we possibly could, so it didn't have time to get over rehearsed or stagnate in the process. And you know, the nature of the show, because Ryan and I, you know, are pretty much fearless to try anything with each other, we were actually able to keep Marty, our director, and our Sylvie, our stage manager, we were able to keep them in the room laughing for all 3 weeks. So I have been involved in rehearsal processes on more classic comedies that aren't so farcical in nature. And yeah, you do hit that point about a week out or so where everyone that's working with you in the room has stopped laughing. They're still enjoying it, but they're just, you know, the newness of the jokes has worn off, and you start to, you know, you can potentially start to question whether you've got a funny show or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you start second-guessing yourself.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the upcoming season for the 6th Street Playhouse.
Sure. We're very proud. We're going to open our season in August with Cole Porter's classic Kiss Me, Kate, and that will run August and September on our main GK Hart stage. I'll just mention the GK Hart shows first. So we're going to open with Kiss Me, Kate. We're going to do our first of two West Coast premieres in October, and that's called Kite's Book, Tales of an 18th Century Hitman. At Christmas, we're going to do the stage adaptation of A Christmas Story, which is Ralphie and the BB gun and his exploits to getting the gun underneath the Christmas tree. After the first of the year, we'll be doing the Broadway smash, The Drowsy Chaperone, and that will play on stage January and February.
That's a terrific show.
Yes, it is. We're very excited. Gene Abravaya, who is the theater manager at Spreckles, will be directing that for us. And then directly after that, our managing director here at the theater, Michael Fontaine, will be directing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. After that will be our second West Coast premiere, Illyria, which is based on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, a wonderful, new, wonderful rendition of this romantic comedy. And then closing our season is going to be Mel Brooks' The Producers, and that's our GK Hart stage.
Wow, that's a great season.
Yeah, I think so too. And our studio season is opens with Almost Maine in December by John Cariani. Following that is 39 Steps, which is the longest running comedy on Broadway. Following that, February is Proof. And then the Tennessee Menagerie, which is an evening of the women of Tennessee Williams.
Now, you also have some education classes up at 6th Street, don't you?
We do. We have a school of drama that offers two sessions every fall, two sessions every spring, and one session over the summer. And we do have a summer musical production workshop that happens for children between the ages of 8 years old and 16 years old. And we offer classes, adult classes and youth classes in improv, beginning acting, intermediate acting. We have a Baby Boomers and Beyond, which is a 55-plus acting class. And we do creative dramatics, which, you know, is geared towards even younger kids, 3 to 11 years old. We're just now offering a professional auditioning class and also playwriting classes.
Well, I urge everybody to go up to the 6th Street Playhouse in Santa Rosa to see The Mystery of Irma Vep. The website is 6thstreetplayhouse.com, playing through the 26th. And Craig Miller and Ryan Schaubach, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job, and I hope everybody goes to see you.
I hope so, too. Thanks for having us, Mitchell.
Thanks so much. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin Sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin. Countywide on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. If you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.